Praise the Lord. Do you realize you sang about grace, mercy, and love tonight? I hope that all three settled into your spirit, man. Grace, mercy, and love. You didn't listen this morning. You didn't understand how God was trying to get love just to saturate your very being. Amen. Still walking in self-deception. Now, I'm not saying everybody. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, well, that's wonderful. Throw it at somebody. Right? But anyhow. No. I'm serious, though. God said they still don't know how much I love them. That's not a negative thing. You just don't understand the love of God yet. But one day we all will. We really will. And I don't know about you, but each and every day I realize more how much He truly does love me. And, you know, we sang of grace and mercy and love. And, you know, if we want God to give us grace, then we have to give others grace. And if we want God to show us mercy, then we have to show other people mercy. It does not matter what anybody has done to you. You have no right to carry aught against them. You really don't. My stepmother's dead, but I had the worst stepmother in the world. You know, that's what I say. Somebody else could say the same thing, right? But I never did hate her. And I didn't know what to know today at the time that she was around. But, you know, as I look, now that I know what I know, and I look back on her life, I think she was messed up. She needed a deliverance. So she couldn't act any other way than the way she did, because she didn't know Jesus. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he just didn't say, "I'm doing this for just Nancy." He said, "I'm doing it for everybody." All His grace, His love, and His mercy that hung on that cross was for everybody. And I don't know about you, but I know just about every day goes by, I need God's grace. Don't you? You know, this is a rough world to live in. And I'm not going to go to hell because you did something wrong to me. I'm just not going to do that. You know, here I'm going to sit down in hell with all the yelling and screaming and the torment, and you might have gotten saved and you're in heaven. I'm just not going to hell for you, just period. You're not worth it. You know, you're not. Nobody is worth you going to hell for. So you need to get this together today. And see, if you really understood how much God loves you, I was telling this to Brother Aaron, if you really know how much God loves you, and if you're really into God and know God, then you won't hold aught against nobody. You might sit in your house and throw a fit about it. We all do, and let's not say we don't. We might, you know, have a friend. We might talk about how they've hurt us, but then let go of it. Just let go of it. Is God in control or is He not in your life? If He's in control, then He has that person. You all look at me and think she lives a wonderful life. No, I don't. I have never, and I still don't. But I love God. He lets me go through the trials and tribulations so I can grow. You know, and when I was young, you know, my mother and father had 6 children. I was a second child. But my daddy always said, "You have more sense than all the other kids, so I'm holding you responsible to raise these kids." Then when he got married to my stepmother, they had 5 kids, and I had to, she always had her babies at home, and I had to help bring those babies into the earth and then take care of them. So I never had a childhood. But I didn't die from that. My daddy about killed me one night because I went roller skating because my girlfriend said, mother said, "You have to have some sort of leisure." So she said, "You stay here and you go to roller skating and you'll be fine." No, it wasn't, because one of the babies was born that night. And, you know, and my father said, "It could have died. And you were out roller skating, thinking of only of yourself." Maybe that's why I don't think of myself. Maybe that was the lesson he taught me. You know, God was teaching me that night. It's not about me. It was about a baby who was supposed to be born, and I wasn't there to help. And it really, baby did have complications, and by the time the country doctor got there, you know, the baby had about died. But it didn't live. It lived for me to raise for a while and torment me. But you see what I'm saying? We think too much of us. And we don't understand that we are God's vessels sent here on this earth, not for our pleasure, but to help other people. And so while you're helping other people, they're going to hurt you. You might as well get used to that. They're just like going to hurt you. And I say that for years of experience. I don't care what you do with them or for them, they're going to hurt you. And it's going to be a selfish hurt. But then if you're holding on against them, you're selfish too. Because you're trying to punish, you yourself are trying to punish them. And it's God who is judging, right? Come on. I have a grandson who I just love to pieces. And, you know, he has charisma like Aaron does, and I love Aaron to pieces too, but they both have the same charisma. But sometimes I like to take his head and stick it in the bucket. You know, I love him. I love him to pieces. And Teresa Ann said, well, that's your gift for spoiling him. That's why he does what he does. And that is the truth. She said, it's your fault. And that's the truth. I did spoil him. Everybody told me that all the days of bringing him up, but I still spoiled him. And now I look and say, well, look what you did. Brought a child of God up to be a good servant of the Lord, because he's going to preach again. He's going to be in the house of God, and he just went on a side road, and God will always tell me, you keep loving him. Don't you ever stop loving this boy, no matter what he does. And see, that's grace and mercy and love that you pour into somebody who goes on a side road. How many side roads have you gone down in your walk, you know, before you knew God or even after you knew God? So do you want God to forgive you? Then you have to forgive others. Are you listening to this tonight? God is all, you know, did you like the songs? I mean, you know, this is where God has me right now. I love Amazing Grace. You all know that. But, you know, God, this is where God has me. Did you really listen to what you were singing? So much reality in those songs. So much reality in them. It's life. True living is in them. You know, some of the songs we sing are good, but they're not really life. You know, it's not all about what you're going through. And God wants us to know what we're going through, and he wants us to know what we're going through this so we can help others go through their mess. I'm sorry, I'm looking at y'all, and y'all still messed up. I'm talking to myself too. But I'm saying that we all still have mess in us that God's trying to get out of us. So let's not be going around judging others and, you know, and holding out against him and not showing him love, grace, and mercy. I didn't even realize that we were singing what we're singing about. It was all love, grace, and mercy. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you just love the fact that he loves you? Don't you love the fact that he held on to you so you didn't go down that wrong road and end up in hell? Believe me, I've been there. God took me there, and you do not want to go there. See, God had to take me there because I didn't care if you went to hell or not. That was your problem, not mine. But see, it is my problem. Because if I see you going down the wrong road, I'm supposed to love you and show you grace and mercy and try to help you get back on the right road, right? And God's going to hold every one of us accountable for those he placed in front of us to minister to, and we didn't minister to them, and we didn't save them from hell. Their blood is going to be in our hands. Now, if we do our job, it won't be. But if we have aught against him, for all you know, God could use somebody to really, really hurt you just to test you to see how you react. And do you really have the love of God in you? I think about that all the time, you know. All right, God, I guess this is a test. Am I really going to walk in love, or am I going to walk in aught and, you know, misunderstanding and all the other junk we walk in? You know, you guys need to tell the people the truth. But do it in the love of God. You know, do it when the Holy Spirit moves upon you and tells you to do it. But you really need to start telling people the truth, that God is love. And that his mercy and his grace, you know, abounds around about you. And you have to let the, you know, sometimes I'll be sitting here, God will say, you go, that person needs a hug. And I'll have one of you guys hug them. It's because God wants to hug. When you're doing that, God is hugging them through you. Did you ever think of that? It's just not me telling you to go hug somebody. At that given moment, they need to know that somebody cares. And a hug tells them that. You know, and God said that tonight when Deanna was doing something, God said, I love her so much. And, you know, I just had to tell her that because it was just bubbling up inside of me. Maybe she needs to hear that. I don't know. How many of you at times you need to hear God say, I really do love you? And maybe just not hearing his voice, but hearing it through somebody else. You know, God sending you to them and saying, tell them how much I love them. We, you know, are we a hospital? Is the Lighthouse Church a hospital? Then we won't kick anybody when they're down. And we won't be the one to make them fall either. Praise God. God is good. Alyssa, my love. I see your tears when nobody else knows that you're crying. I see the confusion in the little heart. I see the hurt, the pain, and the anguish. I see that you are already making an escape route. My daughter, don't do that. I am your father and I am with you. And I truly do love you with every fiber of my being. You are the apple of my eye. No, life is not treating you right, little one. But then they didn't treat my son right either. I want you to understand that you are a very integral part of my kingdom authority. I want you to know that I have a special place in my kingdom just for you. And I want you to know, little one, this storm that's raging around about you is not going to last forever. It truly is going to cease. For I, the Lord thy God, I have come on the scene to protect you from all harm. Daughter, keep your eyes upon the prize. Please do not think that I have forsaken you, because I have not. I know the enemy is raging on all sides, and I know the heart is hurting. But I also know that I love you, little one, with an everlasting love. Come to me even this night with all of your concerns. Just you and I talk together quietly. Find a quiet place and just pour your heart out to me. I want to free you up, little one. I want you to free you up to be the child that I have called you forth to be. This lifestyle that you're living, little one, will not last forever, I promise. You will have joy and you will have happiness and you will have peace. And my glory shall fill your temple. And daughter, you will win many to the cross. Everything that you're going through, little one, is a testimony to those that you speak to. You will one day look up and say, all is well. All is well, Father. I see why I had to go through what I went through. But daughter, in the meantime, work in holiness and righteousness. Stay in my grace and in my peace. Hold on to me with all that you have. And know that my ear is always open to hear your cry. And God's saying he's going to take some people out of your life. And he's going to add new people into your life. And he's saying, don't hold on to those that I'm trying to separate you from. Know that I know what you need. Know that I know where I'm taking you to. And I am separating and dividing at this given time all across this land. You are another one, Alyssa, that doesn't know how much God loves you because you've gone through so much pain in your lifetime. But God does love you, honey. He really does. Just keep that before you, no matter what goes on around about you. God loves you. You know, you have to stop and think, how do you think God felt watching his son Jesus being whipped and everything they did to him? He didn't like watching that. But his son had to go through that in order to do what he did. You, some of us go through terrible, terrible times. And by that I mean, even if you went into sin, you know, you might have to go into that sin in order for God to teach you what you need to know to minister to those he's going to send your way. See, we never think of it that way, but that is the truth. You know, just like, you know, us young girls when we were young, you know, who had to be a mother, and the mothers wouldn't be mothers, so we have to be the mothers. There was a reason for that. God was teaching you leadership. He was teaching you strength and endurance, because you need that whenever you go out there to minister to other people. So let's not curse the things that we had to go through. You know, I just didn't think, I said, God, you must have really thought I was going to be something else with everything you allowed me to go through. And nothing was what I did. It was just things I had to go through with other people so that I could be the person and have the character that I needed to do the works I'm doing today. I want each one of you to think about that, please. You are special in the eyes of God. You are loved by the Father. And you really are the apple of his eye. I don't know how many times God told me that, till I thought I was the biggest apple around. He had to keep telling me, daughter, the apple of my eye. Don't let the enemy devour you. And how many of you sometimes, you know you're the apple of God's eye, but the enemy's everywhere trying to consume you. Well, he only tries to consume those who are really anointed of God. I want you to always remember that. If you were an anointed of God and have a great calling upon your life, you would be so happy, because the enemy would not be after you with everything he has. So we need to just quit being upset when things come wrong, things come our way. And we just need to start saying, thank you, God, that I'm that special. See, the person that's coming against us isn't special. We are the special one. And that should make you dance and shout and just really rejoice. It does me. Maybe I'm different than you. Really, to tell the honest truth, sometimes I say, Father, I thank you I don't have a smooth road. Because if I had a smooth road, I wouldn't be as strong as I am today. You know? One time, my father gave me a spanking for something I didn't do, and he said, I'm building character in you. And I thought, yep. So now I have character. I'd have just soon got it some other way. So, you know, come on. I love my father. He passed away, but I've always loved him. Loved my mother. She was always a good mother. It didn't. You know what? Somebody said, how can you love your father when he put you through what you did? I said, I don't know where he's at. You know, I don't know what he's feeling. I don't know what kind of pain he's carrying. I was just young then. I didn't know why my father did what I do now. I really do. And he was doing the best he could do. He was a wonderful man. And so quit judging your parents. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what made them what they are today. All right? Well, that was our rabbit trail. So now let's get back here to what the Father has to say. The Lord, this is God speaking. Well, I'm saying the Lord is saying, 120 days and I will heal. 120 days and I will heal. In these 120 days, I will do unique healings, and they will not just be in the church. They will be in the bars, at concerts, at casinos, at cigar lounges. They will be at places you would not expect the healing power of God to be in operation. Where did Jesus go all the time? To the sinners. The church people didn't need him. He went to the sinners. Now, I know somebody went to the bars because they it wasn't because God sent them, but they just went there, but they said, God sent me here. No, he didn't send you there to pick up some man to go home, take him to bed. That does not get him saved. All right, but, you know, you never know where God's going to send you. He might say to you, go in the bar. You know, and there might be somebody sitting in there that he's been crying out to God, and he or she might be crying out to God, you know, and God sends you in there. But you aren't supposed to become like them. You're supposed to teach them about Jesus. All right, God said, I will begin to heal, period. There will be mass healings all across this land. Be prayerful as you move forward and be an agent of change wherever I send you in this hour. You're supposed to be an agent of what? Change. Wherever he sends you, you should change the atmosphere wherever you're at. For the good, not for the bad. In these 120 days, I say a sound mind will come forth. Isn't that awesome? A sound mind will come forth. See how I am using sound with you this evening to create a sound mind. When I tell you to lay on hands and release healing, then heal somebody. And I can't remember who it was in her swing. God's Deborah. God said she has healing in her hands, but she won't believe that. That's what he spoke about you. So when I tell you to lay on hands and release healing, then heal somebody. I am raising up an army. Remember Gad, a troop tried to troop over him, but in the end you will put your feet on that troop that tried to overtake you. All right? All is coming into my pleasant lines. You might not be comfortable in those lines right now. Everything that should be happening is happening for now. Right now, everything that's going on in your life or in the world needs to be going on right now. And we need to quit complaining about what's going on, because it has to go on for God to complete what he has to do, what he wants to do. All is well and moving according to my plan. Nothing or no one is surprising me with their actions, manipulations, and declarations. What is happening now should be happening now. No one is slipping anything past me. I know all judgment is coming. No one can get by with anything forever. Always remember that. You might think you're pretty slick and you're getting away with something, but one day it's going to hit you in the face. I will shut down the overtake of this nation and world when the time is exactly right. He was talking to me because I said, God, why don't you do something? Not a moment too early or a moment too late. And I think it's already too late in my little pea brain, right? I think he should have done it way back 2 years ago. I have the perfect plan in place. What you see is not truth yet. What you see is not the reality that is mine. And my reality is the only one that matters, because my reality is truth. Don't put your focus on what you see or what you think needs to change. Oh my, how many of us do that? Don't put your focus on what you see or what you think needs to change. Continue to pray for my kingdom to come, for my will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You can't pray for specifics unless I show them to you, because my thoughts are so far above yours, and my plans for what is ahead aren't conceivable to you in your finiteness. All right, you will see them, though you will see them come to pass. I want to say something here. You know, God, I've been praying, God, clean my house up, clean my house up, clean my house up. And he said, I'm going to clean your house up, and you're not going to like some of the things I have to do it. Well, my two grandchildren who were causing me a lot of problem are now in prison. All right. And, you know, and I didn't get upset with that, because God had to, he was trying every which way he could to get their attention, but he could not get their attention. This got their attention. This is getting their attention. So, you know, I can't say, God, you know, release them to this, that, and the other, because I said, whatever it takes, God, do. And so, and he's cleaning my house up. So I'm just sitting back watching what he's doing, because he's doing exactly what I ask him to do. Now, before you ask God to do something, make sure you're prepared for what he's going to do his way and not your way, all right? You know, and I don't know about you, but, you know, they're in prison, and I'm saying, oh, God, you know, don't let them go through this, and oh, God, don't let them go through that, but they keep going through it, because God knows what he needs to do to them in order for when they get out, they'll be better people. All right? We need to quit tying God's hands when he's starting to move on our behalf. God said, take each day as it comes. Ask each day, what is yours to accomplish for me? Talk to me. Interact with me. Walk hand in hand with me. Learn to hear my voice in a new way as you spend time with me. I need you on high alert for what is ahead. I need you to hear me by every nuance. How many of you are really, truly listening to God's voice every day, every second of the day? If you're doing that, then God, you can be on the toilet and God could start speaking to you. You know, some people think, oh, I have to be on my knees. I have to be all religious and this and that. And the other. No, you can be doing everything in the world and God will just start talking to you and you know, telling you what you need to know. So let's not put God in a box. He can talk to you at any given time. All right, suspend judgment for now, for these are things you don't understand. Certain things that seem wrong must happen for the right to come forth. See that? Certain things that seem wrong must happen for the right to come forth. It may be disturbing. It will be disturbing, but just watch and wait. I have this in control. People are being moved around like chess pieces, taking their position in a game that many don't even understand. Even those are the pieces. Just watch me move. Watch me play. The winning move is mine. And God told me one time it was like a chess game years ago. And then I heard all of a sudden all the prophets saying, God is not playing chess with us. I said, well, that's not what he told me. You know, here he is talking about chess pieces. Know that you know that you know that you hear God's voice. So that when the other voice comes, you'll know that that is not God. And then stay with God's voice. But know that you know God's voice and not your voice that the enemy speaks through. How many of you know sometimes, you know, you'll start hearing a voice and all of a sudden you'll say, no, devil, get out of that, is not God. The devil will speak a certain way or say a certain word that you know that it is not God. That's why you can't get all caught up when you start hearing a voice. You have to be listening to how the voice is speaking. You have to listen to the word that the voice is saying, because the devil does use words and speaks ways that Jesus does not. Gives himself away every time if you really know the voice of God. What does it say? His sheep know his voice, no other voice will they follow. One time, I was praying to God, and all of a sudden I heard a voice, and I just thought, boy, this is really neat. And then all of a sudden, one word. And I said, devil, this is you. And I made him leave, got my mind right, and then I got before God, and God spoke to me. You know, don't be getting excited because the voice is saying what you want to hear. You need to really know it is God speaking. All right, you have heard the tales of old in my word, how I move mightily on behalf of my people. This season will be like those days when I will move so sovereignly, so supernaturally that people will be in awe. It's unlike anything you have seen in your time. It will spin the world in a way it hasn't in centuries. And didn't God say that we're going to see things that nobody else has ever seen? You know, us church people right now are going to see things the other church people have never seen. And that's why sometimes when we do things, the other people say, that's not God. It's because we've never seen it before. And they aren't listening to the voice of God. They're going by their own emotions and their own, you know, whatevers. And they're saying it's not God. And really, it is God. I don't judge what you say. I listen to what you say. And then if God says it's not right, then I know it's not right. If he doesn't say anything, then I let it go. So why are we always trying to pick somebody, what people say, apart? We ought to have enough discernment to know whether or not it's God. All right, there are other challenges ahead, but remind yourself that although my people were often in a tight spot before I moved, I always moved on their behalf. I will move in yours as well. Get ready, exciting times are ahead. There's things, I don't know about you, but there's things that are going on right now that, you know, God has spoken and, you know, I've worked with it, but now it's changed. It's going on a different course. And, you know, and I said, God, I know that this is what you said, but now this is going on. But God had told us that at one point he said, now I'm taking you down a different path. And I don't know if you did something wrong with the path that you were on or if God just wanted to show you something in that path, but now all of a sudden you're on a different path. And then with me, I'm thinking, did I really hear you right, God? But I did. you know, but something in there. God always knew he was going to change the path. And so we just have to stand faith, knowing that God is in control. The enemy desires your faith to be pierced and that you fall. Stay strong in me and you will prevail. It shall come forth as foretold of old. Be strong in my strength, courageous and bold. Speak my words, bind and loose in my name, for I have many victories to obtain. I hope I didn't miss something here. Over me, the enemy has no... Over me, the enemy has no power. And he doesn't. So why do we keep giving him power over us? I ask myself that all the time. Why do you allow him, the enemy, to do that to you? You have more power and authority than the enemy has. Do you ever think that? You know, when you do something dumb? Why did I allow the enemy to take me down that road? Did you ever... You know, you need to start thinking that. Because we have all power and all authority, but every now and then we get messed up and we allow the enemy to have all power and all authority, right? Don't we? Or am I the only one that does that? Come on. See, we have to be real. Life is real. And you know, we have to admit when we're not where we should be, and you know, that we're a little bit confused at what's going on around about us, because God is not a God of confusion. So when we're confused, that means the enemy is at work trying to get us off track, right? All right, over me, the enemy has no power. He lies and taunts to see whom he can devour. Stay strong in faith, listen and obey. I am with you and will show you the way. Now, do you really believe that? God is with you and he is going to show you the way, even talking about myself, I said, God, what are you doing? And he's already told me, you've never gone this way before, so you're not going to understand what I'm doing with you. But I'll say, God, what are you doing? You know, why do I ask him that? He already told me that you know, that I wouldn't understand. And then he said to me, but stay in faith and just be obedient. But I have to put my little druthers in there first. You know, while I'm standing in obedience, I have to have my say. That's not a good thing. Not a bad thing either, right? One time God said, daughter, I love you. I love a good fight. And you come with a fight. So, you know, he does. He loves you to go to him and, you know, and say, hey, come on now. You need to start explaining this thing to me, because I'm in the dark here. And I'm a child of light, right? And I don't walk in any darkness. But I just don't understand, God, what you're about to do. Look around about you. You know, God said to me, I'm shaking the Lighthouse Church again. And I said, who can he shake out? But look, he did. He shook it down again. And he said, I'm going to bring new people in for you to now teach and train so I can send them forth. So, you know, I have to sit here and watch everybody start leaving, like God said. Then I have to start watching the new ones come in who need every part of us. And Jesus is in us. They need every part of Jesus. So they need every part of us to help them understand what life with Christ is all about. They sure didn't understand what it was all about in the world, did they? And they need to know what it's about in Christ. So I said, we have been in some major storms in the natural and in the spirit. And there will be more coming, but Jesus already has the victory. We cannot be as the 10 spies who were afraid of what they saw in the natural, which was the giants speaking doubt and unbelief about what God had promised. Jesus had already overcome all the power of the enemy, even death and hell. We do not need to fear. You hear that? We have the final victory, and through Christ we can do all things. In these latter days, no matter the storm, we must stay strong and keep advancing the kingdom. Keep looking to Jesus. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And, you know, this building's falling down around about us, you know, and we need a new building. You know, people left the church, so therefore the finances are really, really low. And so God is just squeaking us through there, you know. And then I get on the internet and I'd read where you know, somebody, this minister said, oh, with your tithes and your offerings and your whatever, you've paid for the whole building, the land and everything. You know, and I'm thinking, God, you know, what am I doing wrong? You see? And then I look at somebody else and they say, oh, you paid off our debt and we're doing this and that and the other. And I'm sitting there saying, is that right? Well, God said he would just keep me while I'm in this building. There would never be an overflow. So building, where are you at? New building, where are you at? Because we need the overflow if we're going to minister to the new people that he's sending in. So I entitled this, The Father Speaking Volumes. And then I'm saying, are you listening? And God is saying, don't miss the boat this time because there's not another boat. This is the last boat. And I'm also hearing the last train, so I'll say that too. Before the great coming, second coming of his son, Jesus. So he said, don't falter nor fail, but stay connected to divine and go all the way with him. So, it doesn't matter how discouraged you are, because I can just about guarantee that everybody in this room is going through some sort of discouragement. Maybe not today, but yesterday or tomorrow, you're going through some sort of discouragement. You can't quite understand why God's doing what he's doing, but he's doing it. And he's God and he knows all things. So we just have to let him do it. Are you understanding this? And I always said I like being alone with you. And I said, God, it'd be nice to have somebody by my side. Because Ted and Larry both, they always help me carry the load. But now I'm carrying everything, and the load's getting heavy. And for the first time, I cried out to God. And I don't know why I did it, because I don't like to think that way. But anyhow, we don't know what God is doing, right? But God does. So I just have to get up off my chair and wipe my eyes and act like the world's, everything's hunky-dory. And I know I don't act like it. I know God is in control. So how about you? Isn't there times you just like somebody there to help with the load? But you know what? I heard, I'm here carrying a load with you. That was Jesus' voice. Bad me. So bad you. Jesus is with you and he's helping you carry the load. Bad you, Alan. Come on. Is he more than enough or is he not? Well, I got two yeses.
Yes, he is.
He really is more than enough. Yeah. I always think about Paul and Silas. In fact, I wrote this to my granddaughter who is in prison now. And I said, they were in prison. They say in the deepest part where the sore runs through the prison, they were in stocks and bonds. And the soldiers come by and beat them whenever they felt like it, then poured their salt on their wounds, and they still praise God. I said, God, I thank you. I'm not Paul and Silas, sitting in a prison, can't go nowhere. Somebody beat me on the back with a whip all the time and then pouring salt on my wounds. I thank God. I thank you, God, that that's not me. But would you please come by and help me? being honest. But isn't that right? Isn't that right? And Paul, he was a great figure before he got saved. Then here he is. He's in jail most of the time. That's how he wrote the Bible, was in prison. What are we writing while we're in prison, Aaron? Think about that. He's like, I can't get my books written. Paul and Silas saved the people, wrote the word, wrote the epistles while they were in stock and bonds. You're free. So why can't you do what God's calling you for to do? That's what I want you to think about tonight. We're not bound up. We have both of our hands, feet. We have our bodies. Why can we not grasp what God is trying to do with us and go forth in total victory? And would you ask yourself that tonight? Because that's just what God said. What is there in you that won't let you move forward? You have to ask yourself that. I'm just going to tell you what God just announced, and he wants to give Catherine a great big gold star for putting up with Christopher. She passed her test evidently because she got a gold star. And she probably said, God, this is really you? Many times. But there was a reason for all that. And now she has her gold star. But don't stop. Just keep going. You don't want to lose your star. You don't know why you're doing what you're doing. Here's Teresa, has been living with me for 15 years or so, and she lost her home and everything. You know, and she can't afford to go out on her own. And she'd love to go out on her own because her and I don't have the same ideas as far as housekeeping goes. And, you know, she tries to do what I like done, but it wears her out trying to do it. And see, with me, it just came natural because that's who I am. But sorry to say, my children took the traits of their father, not the traits of my side. I feel sorry for her, I really do. I don't really give her a hard time. I feel sorry for her because I know what it's like to want your own house, you know, and not have somebody else telling you when to get up. And I don't do this either, but when to get up, when to get down, you know, make sure you sweep the kitchen and you know, stuff like that. I don't think I'd do that. I might hint around about it. But you know what? We can still rejoice in Jesus because we're free. And we don't have to be concerned about an enemy coming and binding us up because we have all power and all authority in Christ Jesus. Now, Alyssa, honey, I never want to see a sad face on you ever again. I thought that was exciting when God spoke to you. And I'm not mean. I really am not. My kids get away with things they shouldn't get away with. But, yeah, that's life. So are you all ready now to just really move forward with Christ? Are you ready to really show love, mercy, and grace to everybody? If not, then you're not in Christ. You're really not. And if you can't go to somebody and say, please forgive me that I caused you pain, then there's something in you that God's not going to forgive you for either. I'm not going to go into the story about me and my first husband, but, you know, if God made me do that, then I'm quite sure he's telling some of you, you need to go and just ask forgiveness. And don't be like me, say, God, this is not fair. I'm not the one who sinned. Just if I'm just harboring any unforgiveness, I'm sinning, right? It wasn't fair what we did to Jesus either, was it? You know, tonight God really wants you guys to really, really get this into your spirit. I thought the songs were beautiful. They all had such meaning in them. I know they had a little bit of twang in them, country western twang, but that's all right. I have to put up with them guitar ding, 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 ding in our song, so I guess we can do with the twang in these, right? But God just wants you to enjoy yourself. And you can't enjoy yourself if you're all hung up in unforgiveness or whatever it is. You know, you're getting all upset because of how your parents treated you. See, I never went down that road. Why, I don't know, but I never did. You know, if you're all hung up in that, you're not happy. You're in a prison. And God can't bless you. Think about that. You're in your own prison. You just need to say, thank God that I'm not like that. What I went through as a child, I said to God, I made a covenant. I said, God, if I ever get married and have children, my children will always know love. They'll never see any fighting in the home, and they'll always have a roof over their head. And I stayed in a marriage, and my first husband, he wasn't mean to me. He really wasn't. He just liked to run. But, you know, he kept the house and everything else. My kids never heard his fight. They always had a roof over their head, and they always knew love. My life was on hold because I made a covenant with God. I knew what I went through, and I didn't want my children to go through that. So you other guys are saying, well, you know, my parents did this, that, the other to me. You need to make a covenant with God. All right, this is what I went through, so I'll never make any of my children ever go through that, ever. That's why I feel sorry for homeless people. I've been homeless more than one time, and you know, and I know what it's like, the fear, you know, and not knowing what's going to happen to you and where you're going to lay your head and how you're going to eat, you know, and I really have compassion for the homeless. So what has God allowed you to go through that now you'll have grace and compassion for others that are going through it? Let's just get over our silliness. Well, I deserve better than that. Did you really? You know, Jesus didn't deserve the cross, but he willingly gave up his life. When you say, I don't deserve that, you are selfish and self-centered. You get your Jezebel spirit and get it out of here. You know, get it out of you. And quit. Just quit. I'm talking a little bit to Aaron there, a little smidge there. Come on. Right now, I want each one of you in here to just, to yourself quietly, just say, God, I really forgive that person. Whatever's on, what's going on in your life, get rid of it right now. Not going to have an altar call. You're going to do it right there in your seat. And I'm hearing God, you'll be surprised what I'm going to do with this night. He's setting you free. You know, people come in here bound and the devil shows up. Instead of you getting embarrassed or all disgusted about it, you ought to be saying, I thank you, God, that I'm not walking in those shoes. Right? Are you understanding this? Your reply to God should always be, thank you, God, that I never walked in those shoes. Not to judge the people, but thank you, God, that I never walked in those shoes. Father, we just thank you right now. As your people have bowed their heads, and Father God, they're talking to you, and they're getting rid of these negative, dark emotions. Touch them, Father. Let your glory light go straight through them right now. Touch every fiber of their being. And Father God, you told us the other service that you was cleaning the inside of the cup. And I know that's what you're doing with us. It's no more outward appearance, but it's come from the inside out. And what is inside radiates to the outside. So free your children up right now, Father. Free them up from all bondage, all aggravation. Set them free from all doubt and unbelief. And let them receive you in a different light. The light of your righteousness. The light of your peace, your grace, and your mercy, and your love.